You know, we are on a most vital mission through the book of Romans, investigating the significant truths that deeply affect our lives and really every person ever living. You know, we started last Wednesday on this subject of the book of Romans, man's true freedom. And Sunday, we did part two. And then tonight, we're going to do part three. So I encourage you to go to our website or Facebook, Acts Now Fellowship, and you can listen to those teachings. And I trust you'll be blessed. And I'm certainly thankful and grateful to be able to share these great truths, because this is really the foundation by which we can believe and have a relationship with God Almighty forever. You know, we've realized that there is no greater freedom man can experience than to know that he has the righteousness of God within, and that God has given us freedom from death because we have eternal life. So what a blessing it is to know the truth and the great freedom we have, knowing our Heavenly Father and what He's made available to us and for us. Our overall theme verse is Romans 8:2. So let me share that verse with you, Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. We have the Spirit of life within us, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus within us, and that has made us free from the law of sin and death. You know, as I said Sunday, there are four words you want to remember as we look at the book of Romans and consider man's true freedom. And those four words, there are two pairs, sin and death, righteousness and eternal life. And as we read the scriptures tonight, I want you to think of those words, sin and death, and also righteousness and eternal life, because they come up throughout the book of Romans, and they communicate the greatness and depth of man's true freedom in Christ. So we see that in this chapter 8, verse 2, don't we? Where we've been made free from the law of sin and death. Well, let me show you another example where these words are important. Romans 5:21. Now, I trust you got your Bibles open to the book of Romans. That's where we're going to be tonight. Romans 5:21, that as sin hath reigned unto what?
Death.
Boy, there are those two things, sin and death together. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. There's those four words. And I trust you'll never forget the reality that you are righteous in Christ before God Almighty, and that you have eternal life. Once you grasp hold of that reality in your hearts, those two great realities of being right before God and having eternal life, then you can walk with great confidence, great boldness. You can do wonderful things for our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As far as sin and death go, you can remember them tonight, but you can forget them tomorrow, because we move on because we are righteous in Him. And we have the hope of Christ's return And that's part of our eternal life. Well, I want to go to Romans chapter 6. And we're going to, we kind of left off there. And in chapter 6, verse 8. Let's start there as we work through this wonderful book of Romans. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Now, there's that ugly thing, death, right? But how is it dealt with? With Christ, it's gone. It's no more. We've been free from that. You know, verse 7, perhaps we should have read verse 7 because it says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Yes. So there's that sin and there's that death. But we are over that. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, in the same manner, reckon yourselves, come to the conclusion yourselves to be dead indeed unto what? Sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. We are alive unto God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're dead unto sin, praise the Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Why, if it's dead, why would we want something dead to come and bug us? You know, the biggest hoax going on in our culture now is these the living dead. What do they call those folks? Oh, my goodness, the words escapes me, but these living dead people are trying to get those who are alive. And you guys probably know what it is, but that's just the big hoax. That's the big lie. The devil wants to promote death, and he's doing a good job of it. But God's done a better job communicating to us in his word that we don't have to let sin reign in our mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of what?
Righteousness
unto God. There's those words that come up. And if you understand those words, and then you can appreciate them, and you can plug them in the heart of your life so that you can live this great reality of God's freedom with you. Pretty neat, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's jump to verse 20. Just for the sake of time, I'm not going to read every verse in these different chapters. But let's go to verse 20 in chapter 6. Okay. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from what?
Righteousness.
There, that sin, righteousness. See how these words come up? What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is?
Death.
There's that word again. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. Amen, huh? And to the end, what?
Everlasting
life. There's that eternal life. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is this not the greatest freedom man could ever experience and know and live? That they have eternal life, they have victory over death. Every person that has ever lived has the fear of death to look forward to. But you and I don't. because we have eternal life. Jesus Christ defeated death. So we should be really joyous inside. We should really have great confidence when we think about who we are in Christ and what we have to look forward to. Well, now we're to chapter 7. And if some of you, or if any of you have read chapter 7, you know it's kind of an unusual section in the scripture, especially after reading chapter 6 and knowing what's in chapter 8. It's a kick. especially when we see how figures of speech are used in light of looking at how we live life and how we mess up in life. You know, the reason this chapter may seem awkward or strange is that it's a different culture in the times of the Bible versus our times. You know, in their time, what really dominated their life was the law. That was everything to them. For hundreds of years, the Jews lived under the law. Everything was predicated to the law. They had to keep the law. And it was not easy. It was very difficult. But that's what made their lifestyle, because they were so cognizant of what the law said and that it was very difficult to accomplish it. So as you read that, kind of understand this is what's going on in those biblical times. It's interesting to note, and you'll see this, the word sin comes up many, many times. And the word law is used 23 times in this chapter 7. Well, we're going to see the believer and his relationship to the law and his walk according to it. And again, I'm going to skip some verses here. I'm going to start in verse 5. Chapter 7, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto
death.
There it is. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, amen and amen. Mm-hmm. Especially if you were under the law and your culture was permeated with the law, you would be doing a dance right now after reading this verse. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we forget so much. And as we live life, we forget the great things of God. So let's see what happens here. Verse 7. What shall we then say? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Mm-hmm. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. What in the world is that? Concupiscence. Well, it's an inward passion or lust is what that word means. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandments came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Man, oh man. Just to go through all these, it's pretty amazing. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do I not. Do I not? But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Mm. You know, this is the challenge in our mind. As we know what is good, and we try to do it, but we end up doing what we shouldn't be doing most of the time. Pretty amazing, huh? Well, I'm going to jump down to verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from this body of this death, or this dead body? Wow, what a dilemma here, huh? I mean, you can imagine people that were under the law and they were so sin conscious because of all the law they had to keep. Man, oh man, it was pretty frustrating. It was very, very difficult. Well, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And then we come to chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, we were just reading about, talk about condemnation, right? All through this book, chapter 7 here, on the dilemma of dealing with sin and the law going back and forth. But because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are not under the law. We are not in sin. So there's now no condemnation to us that are in Christ Jesus. Boy, oh boy, what a great deliverance. I can only imagine the Jews that really, really believed this and grabbed onto it. They must have really been thankful, because now this condemnation plowed over their heads could be wiped away, because the Lord Jesus Christ made for clear sailing, clear skies. And we don't have to be thinking about sin and all that stuff. We can think about who we are in Christ because we have his righteousness. Verse 2, we've read this already, but look at it in the context here. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Wow, that settles it, doesn't it? That takes care of this whole situation that we went through in chapter 7. I'm sure the Apostle Paul was very relieved when he received this word by revelation, and he wrote this down. What a great blessing it must have been to his heart to see that. You see, that's it. The great reality, the new birth spirit, has made us free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Man's true freedom. There's no greater freedom than we have now. We don't have to succumb to the law and the results and the fruit of the law, which is sin and death. You know, on the other hand, all we need to do is believe God's word on who we are in Christ. We don't want to stagger in our mind to be pulled down into sin consciousness and condemnation, but to bring up, boost up our heart to the reality of our freedom in Christ. and walk in newness of life. Isn't that wonderful? Walk in newness of life. So I trust that you, in light of seeing this and God laying this out for us so that we can really work it in our hearts and minds so that we can fully understand it and fully appreciate it. We sure have a great God, and He has made us so wonderful. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to make us righteous before you. Thank you for eternal life that we have, that we can have such great fellowship with you now because you have done such a wonderful work for us. So I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.